Good morning. Go ahead and take a breath. Find a comfortable place in your body. Another breath. As you exhale, relax your shoulders, your jaw, your face.
In the quiet, in the stillness, in the silence, divine voice seeks to be heard and understood. 'Cause in the silence, divine voice speaks to the place where we understand. Words aren't needed, a gentle guiding hand. It finds us in the quiet, it's in the stillness, in the silence, divine voice seeks to be heard and understood. 'Cause in the silence, divine voice speaks.
Hey, Grampy. Hey, Grampy. Psst. Grampy, could you tell them to be quiet now? So go ahead and find again that comfortable place. Read this with me. Welcome, all who are here, welcome. Breath in. Feel the breath go out. Part of the reason we give attention to our breath is it's one thing that roots us in right here and right now. Breath happens in this present moment. So give your attention to your breath in and out. Read this with me. Welcome my whole self to this moment, my mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual self. Welcome. Breath in. Welcome, Spirit of the Living God among us. Welcome. Together, we willingly enter communion, one with another. Welcome. Let's sing this together.
In the quiet, in the stillness, in the silence, divine voice seeks to be heard and understood. In the silence, divine voice speaks to the place where we understand. in the quiet. It's in the stillness, in the silence. Divine voice seeks to be heard and understood. 'Cause in the silence, divine voice speaks.
One of the texts being read in churches all over the world today is Jesus' story of the shepherd who leaves his 99 sheep to go find the one. There is an ever so slight chance that that's next week's text. I might have gotten a little mixed up. Alas. Have a listen to Josh's reflection.
Some religious leaders were miffed at Jesus for being so open-hearted toward people they judged unrighteous. So he told them a story. You may have heard it. A shepherd left 99 of his sheep to go find one that was lost. A poem by Josh Deaver from Luke 15. Scandalous it is for the maker of all good things to sit with sinners, eat their bread, laugh their jokes. Scandalous until that scandal, that sinner, is me, my bread, my jokes. Scandalous it is for the maker of all good things to take the line between sinner and priestess and bid it forever farewell.
One of the main points of this summer's lesson has been empathy, the ability to put ourselves in the mindset, in the heart set of those that we deem the other. That, we've seen, is an essential component of wisdom. It's essential for relationship building, a bigger version of we. It's essential for the bigger truth that we can only access when we live in that bigger version of we. It's a Jesus idea. It's a do unto others kind of idea, but not just Jesus. Here's what Marcus Aurelius said. He was considered one of the five good Roman emperors and a philosopher. Whenever you are about to find fault with someone, he said, ask yourself the following question. What fault of mine most nearly resembles the one I'm about to criticize? You might have had to read this in school. Atticus Finch had the same idea. If you can learn a simple trick, Scout, you'll get along a lot better with all kinds of folks. You never really understand a person until you consider things from his or her point of view, until you climb inside of his or her skin and walk around in it. So Josh's poem, reflecting on the lost sheep story, it is scandalous, Jesus. You're making cozy with the enemy, the other, the treacherous collaborator with the Roman Empire, Zacchaeus, the self-righteous, heavy-handed Pharisee, Nicodemus, the throat-slitting revolutionary zealot, Simon. And what are you doing? Jesus, you don't understand. You are cozying up to people who are ruining our nation. And you're affirming them in your relationship. You're not shaming them. You're not fighting them. You're giving tacit consent to their bad actions. But this whole lesson was about what our limited perspectives, our small picture truths do. It allows us to see my truth, but not the bigger truth. And we've seen it's part of our brains. Natural selection didn't adapt for a broad understanding of truth. It adapted for surviving and getting our genes passed along. So it happens. But there is a deeper part of us as well. The deeper self. The truer self. The divine center self. The inner spirit self. That has the capacity to access the bigger truths. And that part of us, when we hear the story of the lost sheep, imagines that we are the other, that we are the outgrouped one. And that interior voice whispers in that imagination how much better the world would be if we led with empathy instead of leading with demonizing. If we walked toward the bigger we instead of shaming or withdrawing from bad actors, because when we behave badly, when we only have a sliver of truth and are building our actions on that sliver of truth, Jesus showed us the way, and it is toward us. The implication being, it is also us toward the other. When I am the collaborating tax collector, when I am the wanton prostitute, when I am the religious rule-breaking glutton, or when I am the self-righteous Pharisee, Jesus shows us the way, and it is toward. And it's a very beautiful idea. I don't think there's anyone among us who doesn't think that the world would be better if we did it that way. But we've seen during this lesson that that is tough, tough territory. It is fraught with all kinds of afflictive emotions. It's fraught with all kinds of triggers. And they're a pain in the neck, sure they are. But they're also part of the territory, which means kind of part of our gig. So we do have brain tricks, but we also have a spiritual tradition. And what the spiritual tradition has said is here is a constant invitation to a circle of practices that if we take up, give us access to that deeper part of us, one of which we practice together today. So children, that's what we adults are going to be doing. We're going to be practicing a kind of meditation that helps us move beyond our powerful emotional triggers. You probably have picked this up with Miss Chris upstairs. We call it the welcoming prayer, and I think Miss Chris teaches you a version of that. So that's what we'll be doing. So kids, you are dismissed. You are welcome to go to your classes, and we love you. Why don't we say that? We love you. Okay, take a breath. Today's practice, the welcoming prayer. It's the practice of cultivating mindfulness even while we are being triggered, training ourselves in the moment to access the inner divine, the inner voice. You might call it even our better angels. Afflictive emotion happens. All the time it does. And when it does, a simple breath prayer. Welcome. Welcome. And then a series of letting go of our compulsions. I let go, I let go, I let go. Now, that's a key word, compulsions, because you're going to hear the things that we let go of in this prayer: power and control, safety and security, affirmation, esteem, changing the situation, bending it to my will. And the thing is, we've seen in this lesson, we need power. We need every one of those things. Of course, we need safety and security. It's the first rung on Maslow's hierarchy. We need affirmation. We need love. We need esteem. We need all those things that we let go of. We're not letting go of those things that are essential to life. We're letting go of our compulsive drive that we must have those at all costs. The tradition is pretty clear on this point. If we don't let go of the compulsive part, the chances of us actually being about the business of making a difference in the world, or the chance of us being about creating more love and safety, become very slim. That's why Richard Rohr's organization is the Center for Action and Contemplation. We do both. Well, this meditation teaches us to, trains us to let go of those compulsive triggers when they come up. I let go of my compulsive need for power and control. I let go of my compulsive need for security and safety. I let go of my compulsive need for affirmation and esteem, and I let go of my compulsive need to change the situation to bend it to my will. I let go. I let go. I let go. So that's our practice together this morning. Let's begin by finding a comfortable place in our bodies once again. There's a good chance that you came in carrying many days worth of unprocessed experience, somehow stored up in your neck, around your jaw, around your eyes. Maybe your abdomen is tightened. Maybe your lower back hurts. So we begin just taking a quick inventory of our body and relaxing. And then to quiet our minds from the constant train of thoughts, we give our attention to this very moment, this right here, this right now, by focus and attention on our breath. Breath in, and we feel it going out. In and out. And so take a few moments, and when your mind wanders, or there's a sound in the room, or your stomach grumbles, or something that would pull away your attention, when you see that happening, you simply return focus and attention to breath. When there is tension that shows up again in your body, let it go yet again. Take a few moments. Most likely, sitting here right now, you're not feeling particularly triggered or carrying an afflictive emotion. So this prayer is designed for those moments. So in a rather artificial way right now, we bring ourselves back to a moment in which we were triggered, in which we did feel afflictive emotions. And because this has been the point of the lesson, because this has been the context of the triggering, you may want to today scan your days for a specific kind of trigger, one of the social issue triggers. Maybe you've been triggered around polarized politics, maybe racial inequity, sexual abuse, the Me Too, this battle going on between church folks and LGBT folks, maybe some other one of these social issue conflicts that we have. There are plenty of them. Scan and see if you have been triggered in that context. If not, any afflictive emotion will do. And in this practice, we go toward the negative emotion, not away. Allow yourself a moment to feel the feelings. Position the feelings in your body. Allow yourself a moment to hash through the story that you tell yourself about it, because of course there is a story there. As we've seen, here's what our brains do: tell us a story about the righteousness of our own cause, the righteousness of our group's cause is what our brains adapted for. And of course, when you go to this experience, you will be able to see the blind spot of the other. And of course, you will be able to see the good in yourself. Again, our brains. And also, of course, there is truth in your perspective. There is something that you will want to contend for. But again, our ability to contend effectively is going to depend on our ability to let go of the compulsive power of our attachments and to access the deeper deep. That's the prayer. So feel those feelings as we pray. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome, indwelling spirit. Welcome, inner light. Welcome, a bigger perspective, a bigger truth. Welcome. And to help us remember the prayer, I will say the words and then you can pray them in your mind. I let go of my compulsive desire for power or control. Welcome. I let go of my compulsive desire for safety or security. Welcome. I let go of my compulsive desire for affirmation and esteem. Welcome. And I let go of my compulsive desire to change the situation, to bend it to my will. Welcome. And we breathe. Welcome. Welcome. Now take these moments of quietness and stillness as Jean sings this prayer over us.
The divine is in you. 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 There's fear in there too. Shame and anger too. But deeper through, the divine is in you. The divine is in you. The divine is in you. The divine, it's in you.
Indwelling Spirit of God, may we be alert to the movement of the divine in our days. As we follow Jesus. Amen. Good morning. God's blessing upon you. If you would, please stand together and turn to someone nearby, pass the peace of God, the blessing of the Lord, one to another, and, you know, there's the asking each other's names part, too.